afternoon, everyone. Always a joy to be in the house of the Lord. It's always great to be among God's people. Wilford, my friend, is it possible to put out on the screen that last song that we sang? I'd like verse number 2. I don't want it played. I just want the words up there. How sweet to hold a newborn baby. While they're doing that, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. I think it's after Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken. It's 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, maybe. Amen? All right. We're going to consider one verse from Colossians and chapter 4, I believe. Yes, it's Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to consider verse number 5, but we will read before that. We'll read from verse 1, okay? So Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Verse number 5, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." There's so much dynamite in these verses that it's unbelievable. But we will just be skimming it as we talk about it. I ask that the words of this song be put up, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face on certain days." And then we go on to, "Because he lives." Beloved, I have been blessed so far today. I was at a church, but I got a call. Actually, I was approached by a young lady who asked me if it would be possible to do a dedication for her baby, who is less than 1 month old. In fact, he won't be 1 month old until the 9th of this month. And then afterwards, the same young lady came back to me and said, and here I'm going to sell it, "Grandpa, Fanny wants to know if we can do Chandler too." And I said, "Of course we can." And so today I was blessed to be able to hold in my arms my third generation great-grandsons and dedicate them to the Lord. If that is not a blessing, I don't know what is. Now, of course, I am kind of gung-ho So when, you know, the grandchildren come to me and they talk about certain things or talk about the great grands, I'm like, nah, you know, I'm not going to mind anybody. I'm not going to take care of them. And as the words for this song went up, I realized that last night I was sitting in my recliner and I had little Liam Harvey in my arms sleeping for over 2 hours and I didn't even move. He has me wrapped around his little finger and he's not 1 month old. But there's more to the story. This is 2018, and we said Happy New Year to each and every one of us, each other, because this is the first Sunday of this new year. And we say Happy New Year, Happy Lord's Day to each other. And for me, 2017, first Sunday, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it to the end of the week, much less the end of the year, because I was in the hospital with a heart attack. And praise God, I stand before you today giving the Lord thanks and glory because of what he's done for me. Not only did he get me through that, but I am now holding my great-grandsons in my arm. Is my God great or what? I am serving an awesome God. So today, for the remainder of the time that we have, I'd like for us to just take a look back at where we were 2017. For some of you, like me, you might have had some health challenges. Some of you might have had challenges with job loss. Some of you might have, there are all kinds of challenges that faces us from day to day. But those of us who know the Lord, beloved, as big as the challenge might be, they're not big enough for our God. Because our God is greater than everything you can think of that can come your way. Believe you me, sometimes you will figure that you're in a situation where you can see no light at the end of the tunnel. When that happens, close your eyes and put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Because you see, when we can't see, he's already seen it. When we think that it is the end of the line for us, he comes to us and he comforts us and he says, son, don't worry. Although you're walking through this valley of the shadow of death, you don't have no need to fear because I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. Yes, beloved, there are challenges and there will always be challenges for the family of God. We will always have questions. We'll always have problems. There will always be those situations that we think for ourselves are helpless. But when that comes down on you, think of yourself as the Lord saying to you, my child, I love you. And because I love you, I am allowing you to go through these situations for me. On the back end, you will be blessed. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside is what the verse says. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walking in wisdom could be read, walk in Christ. Or in nearness to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is, after all, the source of all wisdom. And so we need to be those who draw closer and closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. if there is ever a resolution that we could make for the year 2018, it could be that, Lord, cause me to walk closer and closer with you. Because in so doing, we will have him to guide us and to direct us. It is important that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, let our light so shine that men who are around us who don't know him will see our light and glorify our Father who is in heaven. I tell you a true story, and I don't like to tell these stories, but the only ones I can tell are the ones about me, because that's the ones I know. One time I went to a tire shop that I frequently go to. You know, I used to drive a car, and my tires were onion skin, so I get a lot of flats. You know, this tire is smooth. And so I would go to him, and he'll patch it up for me and put me back on the road again. And this one day I went to him to get a tire fixed. And as I got there, now, he's Spanish, I'm Belizean, right? And so I went in and I told him, I said, I have a flat. He says, oh, okay. And he pulled it off and everything, and he was working on it. And he suddenly paused and he looked up at me and he said, are you a Christian? I was like, I was kind of stunned. Because I'd never mentioned anything to him before about me being a Christian. And so he caught me off guard. But I answered kind of sheepishly, yes, I am a Christian. He said, I know. He said, from the time I saw you, I know. And I was like, really? How did you know? And he said this to me. He says, because when I look at your face, it glows. Beloved, you could have taken a feather and pushed me down. Because I did not know. That was the first time I was ever made aware that my faith showed in my face. It was a great compliment. And I say that we need to remind each other that as we walk close with the Lord, this is what he does for us. He allows us to become a mirror, as it were, where those in the world will look around and see us and say, that's a Christian. I can talk to him. I think he'll understand. I think she will understand. I want to ask somebody to pray for me. I'll ask that lady because she seems to be a person who would do that for me. We need to show our faith to those who are outside. Outside of our church gathering. Outside of our church family. But we need to also show it to those who are inside. Beloved, our brother pointed out this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us. If he paid, since he paid the ultimate price, since he paid the ultimate price for our sins, since he died on the cross that we might live, since he rose from the dead that we might be empowered to go forth and tell forth the story of his great love for mankind. Since he's done all that, is there anything too big that we might have that we are to give to our God? Whether it is from our finances, our time, or whatever it is, our talents. You know, I see the sisters and our brothers standing up and singing, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. You might say, I can't sing. Well, find out what your gift is and give it to the Lord. Whatever your gift is, give it to the Lord. Use it for the Lord. because he paid it all for you and for me. Says that we should redeem the time. For some reason I can't find the glasses now. I need to, you want to give me back my dollar one? I got it. Yeah, you don't have to get it. Yeah. Because you ribbed me about it. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in the Lord. Let the light shine on your faces towards those who are outside. Do we want them to come inside? Let us be those who will see, they will see the reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ in our faces. And then he says, the writer goes on, redeeming the time. The command is twofold. Walk in wisdom and then redeeming the time. What is redeeming the time? It is taking advantage of the opportunity that you have. Whenever the opportunity presents itself, you need to be ready to take advantage of it because it might never come back again. We who are children of God need to be always looking for the opportunity. One morning I was going to the little chapel that I worship at. And I'm driving in my car, although it's only one block from where I live. And I see this lady crossing the street, and she's pulling a suitcase with her. She's Caucasian. Well, I live in a predominantly dark neighborhood. And so I went to the gate because it's my responsibility to open up on Sunday mornings. So I get to the gate, and the lady walked by me, and I said, good morning, and she said, good morning, and she keeps on walking. And the Spirit says, you need to turn back and talk to that lady. And so I left the gate locked, turned around, and I followed her around the block. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, I noticed that you're walking. I says, do you need some help? Is there a place you would like to get a ride to or something? And she said, oh, no, but thank you very much. And by me doing that, it ended up being a 20-minute conversation. And I was able to share with that lady. And really just, we talked, and I didn't know she lived in the neighborhood at the trailer park, and she told me some things and opened my eyes to some of the things that had been going on in the neighborhood, and she knew a lot. But I was able to invite her to come to our meetings and stuff like that. And I just say, beloved, the opportunity presented itself, and thank God I took advantage of it. So we need to redeem the time. We need to be those who are looking for opportunities to bless others, looking for opportunities to challenge others, even others in our own gathering. You see, sometimes there is something that I can do, or there's some way that I can be a blessing, and I am unaware of it. But somebody else might see it. How you think our sister Jolene get some people to sing in the singing group? She probably hear their voices. She probably go to them and says, you know, you got a lovely voice. Wouldn't you like to come and join us? Pastor, he just put himself in it. He doesn't care. But this is what we should do. We should be looking for the opportunities that presents itself. I was standing in the back this morning when our brother walked in, and he sat in the back, and he was taking care of some business for himself with the Lord. And I noticed something. What I noticed was that he needed a writing instrument. So I went to him and said, "Do you need a pen?" And he said, "Sure." And I handed him the pen. I redeemed the time. I looked for the opportunity. It was there. I redeemed the time. It doesn't take a lot, beloved, to be a blessing to someone. It does not take a lot. And we need to be those who are looking for opportunities. My sister, Piscasha Senior, rides the bus, and she tells me of these opportunities that presents themselves to her on a regular basis. The Lord uses her in such special ways to be a blessing to others. Why not? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Are you in school? Are you a student? Look for ways to be a blessing to your classmates and your schoolmates. Are you old enough to be working and you're an employee? Look for ways to be a blessing. There are many ways that we can be blessing. And I'll tell you something, beloved. When we are willing to go a little bit beyond what our callings are, the Lord, in turn, will bless you. You know why? Because none of us can outgive God. None of us can outgive our God. Every time we bless someone, the Lord multiplies blessings to us. Every time he multiplies blessings to us. Let us be those who will walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And the last verse says, let your speech always be with grace. Grace. Oh, brother, some of us forget the power of the tongue. We don't realize that the tongue can start a fire. Resolve to say, if I cannot bring joy and favor and peace to someone, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we can create all kinds of havoc because our speech is not always with grace. He says it should be with grace. And it should be seasoned with salt. Another story about me. I'm laying on my back in the hospital in the ICU ward. The doctor takes me down for some tests. And he tells me, "Sir, I have good news for you." I says, "Great, doctor. That's the best thing you can say." He said, "You have no blockage in your heart." I says, "Well, thank you very much." I says, "I prayed before you even checked me." And then she said, "But you have an enemy. You have a brand new enemy, Mr. Gentler." So what's his name? He says, "His name is Salt." I don't know about you, but I just love salt. You know? But she said, "His name is Salt." He says, "So while I won't take it away from you, I'm going to limit the amount you can have." And so now, beloved, my life and my food is seasoned with salt, just a little bit, 1,200 milligrams per day. That's like nothing. She showed me in her hand. I might as well not eat any. Our speech should be seasoned with salt. Having understood what is meant by seasoned with salt, I say that when I speak, I need to be so careful as not to offend my brother or my sister or even someone on the outside. Sometimes as a Christian, I can be so abrasive. I can get up and I can speak. And when I think I'm doing good, although I'm telling the truth, I am pushing the person away. Because the person looks at me, who you think you are? You think you're better than everybody else? And they go off on you in this kind of way because of my speech. So I need to have my speech seasoned with salt. Not only my food, but my speech seasoned with salt. And if I do that, then I may know how I ought to answer each time and each one. If I season my speech with salt, I will know how to answer each one and each time, and I'll know how to answer them. I will be less abrasive. Can we say that we will seek to be less abrasive even with each other? Amen. I've been a believer a long, long, long time as far as dogs' ears are concerned. But when I was a young believer, one of the biggest challenges I had was that I had too sharp of a tongue, and I couldn't take any kind of criticism. If you looked at me the wrong way, I get upset. And then I created all kinds of problems for myself and those who I had with to do. The best advice I ever got was from a beloved sister who has gone to be with the Lord now. And this is what she said to me. Herbert Gentle, you as a Christian have to learn to develop rhinoceros skin, thick skin. He said, you can't let everything that people say to you upset you to the point where you get angry and then you want to in turn inflict pain on them with your sharp tongue. And then I thought to myself, oh, I have a sharp tongue? I didn't know. I did not know I had a sharp tongue. But she lovingly pointed it out to me. I was about 17 years old at the time. I am now 70 years young. I'll never forget that advice. It's one of the best pieces of advice I'd ever gotten as a Christian. I give it to you. May God cause you to develop rhinoceros skin so you don't get upset about everything. And may he also, the Spirit of God, also cause you to take control of your tongue so that you might have seasoned speech. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Not peace as the world gives, but his peace for his name's sake. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Pascasio.